guys, and welcome to Multiclass. I'm one of your co-hosts, the Crafty Rogue, but you can call me Sally.
And my name is Terry, and I am the Supreme Overlord over all gaming.
Sure you are. Yeah, I'll believe that when the cows come home. And I don't have a cow field. But episode one, guys. We're talking about new players to the table. Maybe you're new. Maybe because of COVID, you found out about D&D because you binge watched all of Stranger Things, and now you're like, that looks fun. How do I fight a Demogorgon?
Right.
How do I fight a beholder? I want to do these things. Or you see people online making D&D jokes, and you're like, well, I want to fight a giant dragon. How does this work?
Yeah.
This episode is for you. So our first topic is where to start. There's so many things out there. As our Supreme Overlord might tell you, the word you use is consumerism, I believe.
Yes, hyper-consumerism. It's when you have, take Dungeons and Dragons. You need a player's manual. You need a DM's guide. You need a monster manual. Paper, pen, and dice. You can play a terrific game of tabletop RPG with just those things. But we could make a lot more money if we pumped out $15, $30 books. I think they picked that up from the video gaming industry and the DLC, and it just, I don't know.
Or now they've got, oh, you want the DM's guide? But by the way, check this one out. It's got a really sick image of a lich on it. You know, you want that shiny lich cover. And I'm not particularly a fan of 5e, and that's me, mainly because I've had bad experiences playing it. But I'm not going to begrudge if you are. But 5e now has things to make it easier for people to play. But they come out with some cool cover art for their books. Wizards of the Coast knows their marketing, who they're marketing to. And yeah, sure, the shiny covers are great. But in talking to people, you'll find out that they don't last that long if you're going to carry them everywhere. So in my opinion, get the regular copies. But, you know, they know who they're marketing to.
Well, TRS, who were the people who invented and used to own Dungeons and Dragons, you know, back in the 80s, when the demographic who played the game was slightly different, they sure knew their audience too. I think almost every pan included the obligatory metal bikini armor. So now I look at the covers and I go, wow, they got a much wider audience than a bunch of, 14 through 20-year-old guys.
Well, so when you get all of this stuff that's in your face, and you're starting to play, and you don't know what to buy, and you're going to ask the book salesman, and maybe you'll get a guy that's like, I don't know, man, you know, people buy this stuff all the time. Here's a section. Maybe you ask where it is. He walks you there, and he says, if you need any other help, let me know. And you're like, but wait, there's more. What do I need to buy? The guy may not know. So in my opinion, when you're starting out, don't buy any books. Do not buy any books. You're going to be like, well, that's crazy. I need to know. No, you don't need anything other than a notebook or a clipboard with paper on it. And dice. And a very nice pencil. So in my opinion, if you're going to start out, buy you a nice pencil.
Yes, I prefer a Pentel 0.05 mechanical pencil. I'm not making that up. That's my Dungeons and Dragons.
So I would get a nice pencil. We can go to Office Depot, Staples, Walmart, or someplace, and find you a pencil you think you're going to love. Because that's going to be your best friend throughout the whole entire game. Maybe you'll make some other human friends there, you know, that are rolling the dice. But in my opinion, you're going to want that mechanical pencil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, they grow legs and walk off. So don't let it leave your hand if you ever want to see it again.
Yes. So, and also, you're going to need some dice. Dice cost anywhere from about 10 on upwards. I've spent $100 on dice, but that's me. They're stone dice, but, you know, you don't have to sit out there and go, oh, God, oh, all these expensive things. No, guys, if you're starting out to play and you're not sure if this is the thing for you, you're going to spend about 20, maybe 30 bucks, and you're going to have you a notebook, pencil, and some dice. And then all you do is from there, you're going to go looking for players. Finding your players is now easier than ever with the resources on the internet. You can check Facebook. You can give, if you don't have Facebook, you can call, you can Google local hobby shops that look like they might have RPG games or tabletop role-playing games, if you're, you know, want to call it that. And ask them, hey, does D&D meet here? Is there anybody that has any RPG groups? I'm trying to find somebody to play with. Do you know anybody? You can also check meetup.com. It's a free-to-join site, and you can find players that way. I don't know. I don't know if our Supreme Overlord has any other ways to meet people.
Supreme Overlord probably runs probably runs a decade or two older than a lot of players. And used to, you played with the people you literally played with as a kid. Whoever your friends were, or your circle of acquaintance were, or your classmates were, you could generally find the nerd who's been beat with his D&D book and say, hey, we ought to have a campaign.
True, if you run into people, like I've run into people in stores and like, man, I wish I had a campaign to play in, and then I'll strike up a conversation with them. Like, you know, I have DM'd before. That's not a problem. If you guys are looking for something, check out this place. But find me on Facebook, and then I'll give them my name, and then, you know, go from there. But
I know this is a little off topic, but now that you mentioned it, I'd like to go over it. You know, with the rise of the, not just the miniatures, but with the rise of tiles, with the rise of 3D modeling and things like that for set pieces, for encounters. That's a lot of work on the DM's part. And when I think about it, I'm going, you know, besides the obvious burnout factor and, you know, the resentment, I don't think I've been in the last 10 years that I played, players just sit there at the table and just wait their turn to say, I'm going to roll my d20. Sometimes, this is just me throwing this out there, if we scale the modeling back, sometimes, not all the time, not for the big boss fight, or not for the complicated, you're being trapped fight, but you know, the DM uses a lot of his imagination to build this. Well, the players have imaginations too. Put them to work. Anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to derail the subject. It's just, I just don't, a lot of times I don't think players are invested enough in the game. The players should be just as invested in the game as the GM is.
So, you've got your dice, you've got your book, you've got all the things you think you need. You've possibly found some players. And going into, do you need a miniature to start out with? No, you don't, in my opinion, when you're first starting out. Because you're going to go there and you're going to see what you want to play. You may have looked up online, and it's always good to do a little research. Nobody's expecting you to know instantly how to build a character. Because the first time I showed up to a real event, because I had played before, but people and basically built my characters for me because they're like, here, let me do it. You're taking too long. And I didn't think that was fair at the time, but it was homebrew games and they were itching to really play. So I was like, sure, why not? But I had never,
like I said, I started playing as a kid, right? So you got a bunch of kids showing up. And kids primarily get together to eat pizza and have fun and whatever. So you're already having a pretty fun time, right? And you teach yourself to the game. You don't give yourself enough credit. Most people who play these kind of games, they're pretty bright. So they can pick up things on their own. So when you first come to the table, like I said, you can borrow dice, you can borrow a miniature, you can borrow a book. Paper's so cheap, it's not even worth talking about. And a pencil, oh, come on. But what I think you really need to bring is your enthusiasm and your imagination on your first session.
Yeah, so you don't really, if you're going to go out and buy miniatures, maybe because you want to try painting at your hand at painting, that's fine. If you feel like, hey, you know, now I want to get down the rabbit hole of tabletop crafting, because I watched The Crafty Bard or, you know, Black Magic Craft, or, you know, there's a few others out there that I'm probably missing, you know, but those are the first two that came to mind. And you're like, yeah, I've been watching these while I'm break at work, and I think it'd be great to have this, that, or the other. But... you know, as it stands, don't go out there and rush to buy a miniature. You know, spend your money on dice first. You can get those at any local hobby shop or any store. But if you're going to play at a hobby shop, I would buy from them over a store, because you're giving a local business money, because they're the good guys. And they're really nice guys that are like, hey, I want to open a store so that like-minded individuals can come and, you know, hang out. I mean, it might be... it's some people's sanctuary away from, you know, hey, I get picked on at school every day, but I come here and have like-minded individuals, and I'm okay. I can cope with the world now, you know. I may be bullied, but...
yeah, when I was playing in the 80s, what you did, you had your group of friends, right? And somebody eventually figured out whose house that the mother didn't mind them playing Dungeons and Dragons in. That it wasn't a satanic panic, or you're doing in a cult thing. So, you know, and there was always one mother who either didn't care or thought it was pretty cool. So that's where we show up. But when it comes to supporting these the hobby shops, comic book shops, the gaming shops where you play, I would say, yeah, I'm not one of those people who goes, you should always support local businesses, no matter how crappy they are. Well, support these guys, because if you don't, they'll go out of business, and you'll be looking to play Dungeons and Dragons in mommy's basement.
So you've got everything you think you need. You've shown up, and you're ready to play with your local players. You've gotten all the way out there, guys. I mean, I feel this way. It's like I show up, and I'm plopped right down where I'm supposed to be sitting. I've gotten help making my character, or I'm ready to make my character. I need to know some table etiquette, because, yeah, sure, it's not like sitting at your dinner table or whatever. I mean, well, I guess it kind of is, in the sense that you don't need to be rude to other people. If you've got your stuff, set it directly in front of you and don't hog up all the table. Another pet peeve is scrolling through your phone looking at Facebook or memes. Guys, we get it. You know, it's now everybody's got a quick attention span where if you don't snappy, keep you focused. But the DM, or the person running the game, has A, taken time out of their week to read the said scenario, and study all its lingo and monsters and, you know, make notes and everything for the players, or B, which is, you know, a common thing, they've taken time out of their week to write a scenario. And that's a lot of work. Or, you know, part of the campaign from last week. So they're putting forth this effort that's very rude for you to sit there, and rude to the other players if you're not focusing, because you might miss some key information. And if you miss it, and then, you know, your halfling over there, Thagdor, for example, might be like, "What'd he say? What'd he say? I heard him say something. I know he said something. What'd he say?" And then you'll be like, "I don't know." Well, Thagdor's trying to get information out of you, and you missed it because you were on your phone.
And then, I'm not going to say there's nothing wrong with being on your phone. If you wanted to be on your phone, why didn't you stay home and put your phone? Dungeons and Dragons, or any of the dice-based, 20-sided die-based systems, if you're going to have fun, you need to concentrate when it's not your quote-unquote turn. Because if your butt's in that seat, it's always your turn. You're supposed to be strategizing, you're supposed to be looking at it, you're supposed to be thinking about what little snide meta comments you're going to whisper to the other party members. Remember, there's a big monster annoying with you. You can't just simply wait in the corner and file your fingernails till it gets around to you. No, it's everybody pulling their weight. And if you don't want to do that, maybe you should ask yourself, is this game really for me?
So when you're sitting there and you're scrolling through your phone, and you're being very rude, by the way, if you haven't caught that there. The other thing that's rude is spinning your dice, touching other people's stuff. That's another pet peeve. I've played in games where one dude, and I'm not going to name names, but me and the Supreme Overlord know who we're talking about. I have a dice box that I keep to the side of me, or I did. I don't use it anymore for this reason. It came from Hobby Lobby. I painted it. It has a plexi, or I guess it's a glass little window. I could see. Yeah. So I could see what all the dice I have are in there, and it comes with little separate little wooden compartments that I had very, very carefully cut out squares and lined all the little different rectangles and square parts with felt. I was so excited. So I was super ready to you know, be like, let's do this. And I go through and select my dice that I have, because I am a dice goblin and I believe that the dice gods are very finicky. So I go through every session and would roll out my D20s, line them up on good ones, and put the other ones back in the box for dice jail because they're evil. And they would take said stuff and take my dice box and play with the lid. And the one time they did, it made a loud crashing sound as they slammed the lid open. And everybody just stared at him in an awkward silence for a moment as our DM said, "Dude, what are you doing?" And he said, "Sorry." That's all he said. "I don't appreciate it that you touch my stuff." But then, then while he was still in the midst of saying sorry, he picked up some very expensive dice of mine that are metal and proceeded to spin and play with them as I'm trying to snatch them back, saying, "Dude, give that back." And, you know, that's very rude. That's rude of you to sit there and distract others, spin dice, play on your phone, and basically be a dick. Don't be one of those.
Well, being rude would say, "That's a nice jacket. Where'd you get it? Which fourth-hand thrift store did you get it from?" That's rude. But when you reach over, grab somebody's stuff right from underneath their nose, "Give me my stuff back," and then you petulantly almost break the stuff, that's not rude. That's, if I'd have been the GM, I'm pretty sure they were buddy-buddy. So it wouldn't have happened. I'd have bounced them up there. I just, new players who grew up on the internet, when you grew up on the internet, by and large, you quickly found people you liked, who shared the same interests and the same points of view. Well, you know, in the real world, not real world, but in the world of not computers, it's not like that. Everybody has different views. Everybody has different whatever. And you have to learn to get along with people who are different than you. But when it comes to the a-holes, get rid of them mercilessly. They will kill your fun. I love playing Pathfinder. I love playing Dungeons and Dragons. I love playing Paranoia. I love the other games. But the fun comes to a screeching halt when you get that guy who's snatching things out of a nice lady's hands and just acting like he didn't care, shrugging everything off and not paying attention, being disruptive. Basically, if they would not take it in an 8th grade classroom, you shouldn't take it at the table.
So, don't be rude, guys. That's what we're stressing enough that you're coming up there. I mean, I know that in playing this game, you're going to encounter, and you may not be the best social person. I'll be honest with you. This game is probably and consists of mostly socially awkward people, or people that feel like that, hey, you know, I come here to at least attempt to socialize. Maybe some of them are in the spectrum, maybe not. Some of them may have, you know, been sheltered their whole lives. Bear with them there, you know, or try to understand. But don't, as best you can, if you feel like that you're being rude, say, or being, you know, distracting others, say, hey, guys, if I do anything to distract you or whatever, or be rude, can you please, you know, politely let me know? Don't be jerks about it, guys. Because I totally understand that when you're there to socialize because, A, maybe you would like to make new friends or you haven't had much socialization and you're trying to find people. And I get that.
And that's great, but, you know, don't be rude. Don't be an ass. On the other hand, don't be afraid to be assertive when it comes to your turn and your character. Like, nuh-uh, this is what my character is going to attempt to do. What's a bad idea? Hey, he's going to do it. Or, no. I read the rule on page so-and-so, that lets me do this, that lets me more or less break the game. Here's the rule. I mean, you're your own character's advocate. And so you don't want to be an ass about it. But on the other hand, you know, you're not a wilting violet. These are people that hopefully you come together because y'all like mind. Y'all, I won't say trust, but you have the same mindset. You have the same goals and a lot of the core personality traits. So a lot of times it shouldn't be that hard to bond with a group. And it shouldn't be that hard to spot the person who should not be there.
So you found your group. You've got your stuff, guys. You are trying so hard to be social, maybe because you're not very social and, you know, you're chatting with people beforehand. And you've got a character in mind. I tell people this, if you've never played before, it's fine if you don't know what you want to make, but kind of look at your favorite books, video games, whatever, and get a character in mind from those. Don't completely copy them. Add a little bit of your own flair. That's my opinion. Have a bit of your own flair when you're going to do character creation. But also, when you show up to the group, find out when you're making characters whether or not your character is appropriate for the group, because you can have two types of groups, which are a serious group. They're going to be the Lord of the Rings type of group, where they make the typical ranger, rogue, you know, like druid. You know, they're going to make the typical classes, and they're going to be dead serious and plain. But then you'll have the other group, which is, they'll make a bit of comedic characters and they'll have a good laugh. And, you know, the serious group doesn't mind a good laugh every now and then. But if you're going to make a comedic character in a serious group, it's not a very good fit and vice versa.
No, and when he gets into trouble, don't expect healing, don't expect the bless spell, don't expect the big bad warrior in the literal tank suit of armor to come running. If you're not down with the mission, every time, I mean, not every time, if you're not down with the mission most of the time, the other characters, the other players are going to pick up on it and go, whoa, you are throwing monkey wrench in the fun train here. And, it's weird because usually you get a lot of socially kind of shy people playing this game, and it kind of works against them because the jerks are not socially shy. I mean, they just run over everybody. So it's this funny setup where you got a bunch of basically meek people who don't like to get into confrontations, having to stand up against a person who's just an utter inconsiderate ass. But it's got to be done.
So that is true. I totally agree with that. But bear in mind, guys, that everybody's there to have fun or try to have fun. And don't try to ruin somebody else's fun, because that's no fun at all, guys. When you've made your character and everything, the number one excuse, like, with character behavior that I have found, and for example, we'll give a scene scenario here. Let's see if we can throw one up in 5 seconds. Okay. So you guys are in this great big giant mansion. And you guys have had to get some information out of these people. Maybe via books, notebooks, whatever, in another room at this party that they're having. So you snuck out of the party and you've gone around to the dude's private, room and gotten these books. Now you have come back another way because the other way is blocked off. So you can't go back the way you came to a giant, big ass glass window, like huge window. So the example would be in this scenario. You guys now are facing a giant glass window that you all have to sneak across without being spotted by the party members and them saying, I didn't know that you allowed people to tour your mansion. And, of course, raising red flags and then you guys being caught at what you're really there to do.
Or you get to stand the ground types who just open up like that.
Yeah. So the number one excuse I've run into players saying is, well, and other players really hate this excuse, so if you use it, you're not going to probably be liked by many people. Well, that's what my character would do. That's a cop-out, let me tell you. So what you're telling me is, in the scenario that we've given you that you stole them, said notebooks or journals that the guys whose house you're at, or mansion you're at, excuse me, you've stolen his notebooks to prove that he's whatever he is, or vice versa, or get the information. So what you're telling me is you've stolen these notebooks, you're now having to stealth across here, and your character, so you tell your character, well, since I'm a fighter, and I'm in full plate armor, clank, clankety, clank, 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 I'm just going to keep going across. I want to go first, and I want to roll for stealth. So you're telling me that if you were actually your character in this scenario, you would wear your full plate armor and sneak across that glass? I highly don't think so. I think that your character would take off his armor and try to silently get it across and get himself across as quietly as possible, because if you get caught, who knows what they're going to do to you? And that's not going to be pleasant. Plus, considering that you are technically kind of in a medievalish times and there's wizards, torture is not going to be pleasant. I don't think so. Because that's what they'll do.
Well, there used to be a mechanism in place in older versions of the game that elegantly deal with what to do with players who just say, I'm going to do whatever I want because that's what my character would do. The DM will go, yeah, that sounds about right. Your character can do whatever. What's your line? Oh, I'm lawful good. Well, you just killed a bunch of orphans. Lawful good people don't run around killing orphans. So, you're going to take a penalty on your alignment. It's going to shift closer to evil, and you are not getting any experience points for that. That is not what your character would do. That's not what lawful good people do. You have that check and balance. Now, alignment is more like what color shirt you're wearing. You know, take it off, put it on, cover it up, it doesn't really matter.
Well, our next episode will cover alignment, guys, so that those of you out there, we can kind of go with the alignment chart. But in character behavior, the other thing is, don't, and this is the number one rule you're here, and I tell people when they're playing, and I'll be walking by somebody, and the guy will be like, well, I'm going to go wander off down here by myself. I'll go, don't separate the party. You know what happens when you separate the party? Somebody always dies, or bad stuff happens. It's fine if you guys are wandering around town, maybe, and you're going to go shopping. It's fine if the wizard says, well, I'm going to go to some potion shops. Oh, yes. And he just wandered off to some potion shop. That's totally fine if you guys are shopping the market. But in general, the rule is don't separate the party. Because you'll find out that that's a bad thing. Don't be the one dude that's always a loner. Because I've encountered DMs where, and I've done this when I decided to DM, was the first rule is if they try to separate the party, you can always punish them. Well, you're now in a pit. What? Yep, you found a pit. You wandered off. Roll me d20. You're stuck in a pit. So I will ignore them. And the DM has the right to do so to you if you abandon everybody and now you're stuck in a pit. Well, I'm trying to, well, roll me d20 again. Oh, nobody heard you screaming. Help me, I'm stuck in a pit.
Oh, tell them about tell the audience about the, when we were playing and we were fighting this incredibly monster. It was going to get us all. It was just a matter of mathematical certainty and how long it took.
Okay.
To fall down. And this one person was playing with the cleric or paladin.
Okay, so here's what went down. So imagine any Indiana Jones movie where Indy is like the door's closing and he's trying to get his hat and he's only got seconds to lose and he snatches his hat. Like that's the best way to describe how this is going to go down, except for it's a lot slower. So we're all fighting some zombies and I think we're going through Tomb of Annihilation for 5e. But our DM was kind of adding in his own flares and written in stuff to it, which is totally fine. I appreciate people that take the time to add their own stuff to make it a little more fun and add their own flair to it. So we're trying to fight these undead thingies, and basically Oogie Boogie Man's there, and he's got all these bugs, and our cleric, who's not really a cleric at all because he sucks at being a cleric, as I was going to be a cleric, but I became the necromancer, or the cleric of death. Our cleric says, as we have plenty of time to escape, flee. Leave without me. I'll die and sacrifice myself on behalf of you guys.
Oh, and don't forget to say, this is a fight we did not have to do.
So we're all, I'm just looking at my character is looking at his proverbial watch. You got 5 minutes, man. You can make it. Come on. And the DM keeps saying, you can make it, man. He's like, no, I'm going to keep fighting the beast. And the door is slowly closing. It's like every minute it inches down. The dude still has plenty of time to make it. Go on without me. Leave me. I'm sacrificing myself to save you guys. I could have saved your ass, but I'm not going to do it because I don't heal stupid. That's my number one rule when I play a healing type character. And I'll tell people in advance, guys, look, I'm your cleric. Nice to meet you. Name's Dave. Or some other name that I come up with. Name's Dave. I'm a cleric. And I don't heal stupid. So if you Leroy Jenkins your ass in the way in the dungeon, I'm not saving you. That's my rule. Because I don't want to sit there and keep saving somebody that's ruining the party. That's making everybody not have fun. If you're killing our fun, why am I going to save you? If you try to steal something and you're trying to get me to say, oh, it wasn't me and you're killing my fun, I'm going to be like, yeah, he stole it all. And have your character get killed because I don't care because I'm trying to have fun from my daily grind of whatever I'm doing, stress, and I want to unwind from all that stress, grind, etc. And you're killing it because you decided that you wanted to do something stupid. Don't be stupid. Don't do stupid things. Please don't.
See, I'm going to go all Grandpa Simpson here and shake my fist at the cloud. Once upon a time, people who played Dungeons and Dragons were socially inept, right? But they had one thing going for them. Even the 14-year-olds could read a standard distribution curve and understand how much stronger an 18 in strength is than a 16. And, I mean, so you didn't have to cover for stupid. Because these people all come in, they all plotted. There weren't that many books. There wasn't a new book every month. So the books were damn near memorized. And you just roll in there. And like you said, if it was a fun, just eat pizza and hang out session, well, the DM would do something a little goofy, right? But if it was the end of a campaign fight, when it's been building up for months and months to this, yeah, everybody went in there to get some business taken care of. Where now I see a bunch of people whose social skills blow mine out of the water, but they cannot add the numbers on the dice without using their fingers. So things change.
So I totally agree with understanding that. I mean, you've been playing since what, the 80s? If I'm correct. But when you're saying, the cop out thing is if that's what my character would do, or you're doing something you think's funny or stupid, that really you think is funny, ha 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 ha, but nobody's laughing with you. Because they're just like, that's dumb, bro, don't do that. You're basically then hogging the spotlight and not giving other characters a chance to shine a little bit because that's not fair. Don't be that person. Just don't do that, guys. It's not fair. It's not fun to other players, in my opinion, for you to do the cop-outs, to do stupid stuff. Now, if you're in a game where comedic events, are totally accepted.
Yeah.
Like your Three Stooges game, that's totally fine. Do all you want to. Nobody cares. The DM's there for that purpose, saying, hey, guys, this is a completely BS campaign. We're just here to have fun and laugh. And, it's a beer and pizza kind of game. That's fine. Like the proverbial beer and pizza. That's fine. But that also factors into where am I playing and how does that factor into me as a player? Are you playing at home or a card shop? With the pandemic, most people are playing online. That's another option. But we'll talk we'll say that COVID's magically disappeared. Some wizard magically cast a spell across the land. There's no more COVID and everything's back to perfectly close to normality as it can be. And you have the option of playing at home or a card shop. You can A, go to somebody's house, or B, play at a card shop. I will go to card shops to start out with if I'm playing with a new group that I don't know. For the simple fact, I don't know you. I don't know, I don't know if you're a serial killer or not, How do I know that you don't lure D&D groups to your house to secretly murder them? That's my fear.
Dungeons and Dragons, Ted Bundy?
Exactly. I like that, yeah. How do I know you're not, you're Ted Bundy, the DM? I'll invite these party members over and murder all of them. No, in all seriousness, a lot of people, when I asked online in the Facebook group for Pathfinder that I'm in, I said, do you guys prefer to play at home or at someone's, at a shop? And they said, it depends. They said, if it's a new party, a lot of people said, if I don't know the people, then I want to get to know them at a card shop or a hobby shop, wherever we're playing at, for the first couple of you know, maybe the first four sessions, and then say, hey, why don't we bring it to my house and whatnot? You know, that's a thing, is when you're there, figuring all that out.
So, I think that's important, especially now, because of the just wide, super diverse range of players, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once again, okay, we've played with some teenagers, right? Younger teenagers?
Yes.
And they come in different flavors. You got the ones who are just as smart as you are, who want to have just as much fun as you are, and can read the rule books just as well as you can. I mean, they're a full-fledged player, right?
Yes.
And then you've got the ones who, even though they're 14, they're small children. And they will grind the game to a screeching halt. So as far as getting together, public and private, like it was some sort of online date, I totally get the female gender thing of trying to stay safe. That's paramount. Don't even argue with that. Just roll with it and support whatever women need that. And once again, I'm going to go Grandpa Simpsons and shake my fist at the clouds and say, nobody really thought about that safety of children when I was playing. Yeah, you want to go to so-and-so's house? Nobody cared. But now that things are a little bit different, only thing I'm saying is when it comes to younger players, who's the player? The person sitting at the table or their mommy?
That depends. That depends on what's happening, where you're. It factors into, I know, I get it, that if you're a parent and you're listening out there and you're like, well, I wanted to get my kids into this. Great. I'm excited for you. So proud of you as a parent that you have acknowledged that this is an outlet for your child. Maybe you played in the Satanic Panic era and you're like, I don't want my child to be that, or your child has shown interest. That's fine. I will take your kids to card shops only, not to some stranger's house, unless you're playing with them. And then you guys have agreed on those terms, or you know the person. That's totally fine. Card shops are wonderful. Card shops are not, hobby shops. I'm used to saying card shops in general because I used to play card games. But in the general sense, hobby shops, card shops, they're not babysitters. I had somebody tell me that one time. They said, we do not like it when parents just drop off their kids and then leave. We're not babysitters. We're not going to be responsible for said child. Okay, so that means you as a parent, it's fine if you let your kid go and play and you just go sit down and read a book. Go have fun, but read a book, guys. You know, sit in the corner.
There's a ton of them downstairs. Just go pick up a book off the shelf and see what your kids do.
You can let your kid have fun. Give them the moment of being themselves. Even with you there, you don't have to hover. You don't have to hover. You don't have to be a helicopter parent and go beep 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 beep. What are you doing? Oh. Sure, there might be a couple of foul language words every now and then, and there might be, you know, some choice. You know, but it's a role playing game, and they're gonna get an outlet. It's not like, oh no, they said the F word, and it's gonna come out there, and they're gonna say it all the time now. That may not be the case, and you can talk to them about that if that's an issue. Sure, there people say this and whatnot, but now you're encountering this whole new environment. These languages are not appropriate in everyday conversation. So you can kind of have that conversation with people, but in my opinion, as a parent, getting your child into this game or your child really wants to play, don't discourage them, encourage them, take them to the shop, find out if there's games going on. And go sit off in the corner and read a book till they're done. You can sacrifice at least 3 hours or so for your child to have some fun. Or you might even be able to walk around other shops in the same shopping center. You're not technically leaving. You're just walking around other places.
Or, I know this sounds crazy, you could actually go out on a date and see a movie that you haven't done in a decade because you've been raising children. I mean, the kid's a teenager now. Start to claim your time back. Look, as a guy who's raised a couple of kids, I'm sorry, I'm not raising any more children, especially somebody else's. And did you ever play with adults when you were a kid?
No. When I was a kid, I never played tabletop games because my parents were not going to sit there and encourage that behavior. Now, I played card games with adults. Like, I would go to, like, card game events, and there'd be adults there.
Same thing. When you first sit down at the table as a kid, you're intimidated by all those adults, just like you would be in middle school, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you get 30, 45 minutes into it, and all you are is another player who's got his character. And then the age difference, the cultural difference, starts just to dissipate. And everybody can come together and have fun regardless of the age. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm pushing the wrong decade as far as my age goes. But, you know, I have no problem. We played one time with what was she, 14?
We played with a 14-year-old before because that was at Bud's Place. By the way, Bud's Place, I'll give a shout out to them. Wonderful place in Alabama. If you guys are in Alabama and Leeds and have a chance to check them out, there's Bud's Place, Mythics, Gear Gaming, Card Addicts, but I don't think they do anything. I think there's Rules of Entertainment, but that's out at Calera. But yeah, we played with a 14-year-old girl who showed up because the DM's daughter was playing with us, and they were looking, and so she brought her friend, and that girl was like,
she's badass. Nasty.
Yeah. We talking about Rowan?
Yeah.
Rowan. Yeah, man. I was like, if I could get Rowan over to play at my house, I know I'm 31 years old here, but if I could get Rowan's parents to be like, come on over and she can play role-playing games, because I know that sounds weird, but Rowan was such a good role-playing partner for D&D that I was just like, man. Like, I need to include her in all my games. I don't, age is not a factor in this. I don't care that she's 14. I don't care any of that part. And some of you guys might be going, that's weird. No, I respect her because she acted like an adult and knew what she was doing and wasn't like a child. And it's hard to find people like that, even in adult players, because some adult players are like,
hey,
yep. Dildo.
That's exactly what I was going to say. When it comes to acting like an adult, that's a phrase that goes out the window at a card shop. It's, are you paying attention? Are you being concentrating? What are you there for? And she was. She didn't know all the rules. She didn't read. Did she even have a handbook? But what she would do was, she always knew what her character wanted to do. She not just wanted to do. She knew what her character would be doing the next wanted to do. And she didn't know if she knew the basic rules, but she didn't know all the fancy little, you know, subcodes. And she just asked the DM, hey, I want to try and do this. DM goes to roll the D20, let's see what happens. And which is how it should go. I mean, that is really bringing imagination in front of you. Because I think used to history lesson. This game started off as a turn-million, turn-based system called Chainmail.
I know about Chainmail.
It evolved from there into the first basic, called the basic set of Dungeons & Dragons. It was in a cardboard box. It was the one with the Larry Elmore cover with the guy fighting the dragon.
Well, according to Wikipedia, Chainmail was invented by Gary Gygax, which is the father of all role-playing games there, and Jeff Perrin in 1971. And they would play in their basement. And when they would play in their basement, it's rumored that Gary Gygax's wife would come down, would think that he was doing, like, lewd things in the basement and having an affair. And so she stormed down there one night to see a bunch of grown men rolling dice over a tabletop, playing with miniatures, and she didn't know what to say. So she just walked back upstairs. But I know the cover you're talking about because 3.5, they came out with a new box. When 3.5, they had before 4E came out, and 3.5 had been out for a long time because nobody thought to release a new system or whatnot, because 3.5 was the peak of its time, greatness. Everybody loved it. It had the book of the woman with fighting the dragon on there.
Yeah. I think the game has changed. I've got a theory. My pet theory is this game has changed to mirror MMORPG video game. Not first-person shooter game, but, the ones we have like 1,000 real people running around doing crap. And because that's the mentality of 20 years of people growing up playing these games. And that's great. Got nothing against video games or whatever, except they cause violence and they're the worst thing ever hit the plague of society, after Dungeons and Dragons. But it's just, if I wanted to play a video game, I'd go get an Xbox. Instead, I put all my money into books. So I want to play a game where it's not just hit, I only make 3 moves. And I just hit a button. What is it called? Spin Man?
What's that again?
When you're playing a video game and you're playing a boring character when he has like 3 or 4 attacks and you just keep hitting the same buttons whenever it's your turn.
You're spamming.
Yeah, I mean, you are totally checked out because it's no fun. You only have a few options, 5 options to go with, and so people
used to do that in Street Fighter. They would spam Hadouken because you could do the same combo over and over. So one guy just won by spamming Hadouken at a Street Fighter tournament. And so Street Fighter creators are like, hey, yeah, no, this is not cool. We're Capcom. We want to have a nice game that everybody loves. But yeah, we're going to fix that. Now they kind of stopped that. A lot of games are nipping spammers in the bud, but, and then there's button mashers, but, it's not fun if you're going to do the same moves over and over. Sure, if you're playing 5e, and I believe you're a warlock, and you need to say the words, Eldritch Blast, I believe that's correct. That's fine, but,
well, you know. It's a low-level character, of course you don't have a lot.
Yeah.
A little character, you just hoping not to get stepped on. But okay, I read a wizard one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
The DM wasn't that great. I don't know or whatever, but he wasn't a battle mage or anything like that. He's a wizard. So I always put him as far back in the marching orders. If the spell said it had a range of 120 yards, guess how far away that character was going to be?
120?
Yeah. So I'd just step around the corner, cast fireball, lightning bolt, whatever, step back around the cover of the corner, which is great tactics, which is a lot of fun until you've been doing it for months. And the DM never even thinks to take a pot shot at you by firing an arrow. Basically, that was the DM ignored me. Yeah, I don't think he was doing it on purpose, but it had the same effect because I was spamming 2 buttons. I was go around get out from behind cover, cast a big blowing up spell, step back under cover. and you know, and firing a paladin to go up there and get hit. That I think it's only fun part of the fat is leveling up and getting these spells so you can cast even more powerful spells when you step around the corner.
So when you're playing, I guess, and you've decided that you're now at you decided where you're going to play at. So you say, for example, you need to ask about the rules wherever you go. It doesn't matter where you're at. Say, hey, is it okay if I bring snacks? How does this work? Some stores say no outside food or drinks because they sell stuff in there. They might say, like, I've played at stores that say no outside food or drinks that we sell. So yeah. They're totally fine with fast food and stuff. And they're like, hey, if your thing came with a drink, because that's what your meal came with, we can't stop that. We don't sell fountain drinks. So that'd be their thing. But they're like, hey, but we do sell bottled Coke and, you know, canned Coke and whatnot. So that's a lot of the other things is ask the rules. If you're playing at somebody's house saying, hey, is it okay if I smoke here? Or can I bring drinks, snacks, etc.? Do you guys order pizza? Do I need to bring money for said pizza? You need
no,
to bring...
No, the answer, if you're going to eat, bring money.
Just always bring money.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you're like, oh, I'm not eating, I'm not drinking, bring a $5 bill. Just throw the $5 bill there. It will not kill you, and it will foster player companion for $5 freaking. And it's just okay if you're totally dirt broke and poor, I get it. And there's nothing to be ashamed about. You don't even have to bring it up to the other player. Because, you know, there's a crap ton of stigma associated with being poor. So, just, they're going to notice that you're not eating pizza or drinking soda. And just explain to them that, make up some feeble excuse or something like that. And then just nod your head and move on. They're not really concerned about whether you're eating pizza or not. It's just one of those things, you know. Oh, can I backtrack here for just a second? And I swear I will move right up.
You are totally fine because you are the supreme overlord.
Going back to table etiquette. Watch your damn elbows.
I can...
At the table. Watch where you're putting your elbows. You're going to knock over drinks. You're going to knock over books. You're going to knock over... Watch your elbow.
Okay, so it is a good thing. And I totally understand. If you're poor, maybe you don't have a lot of money. I get it. I've played with players like that. And people do kind of get upset. So for example, if I'm a DM and I have been DM and I currently probably will be DMing soon. But I am getting to play again. But if you're a DM and you're gonna host a game or whatnot, you can send out, say for example, you've gotten everybody's number and you're texting, and you can say, hey guys, we're probably gonna, say for example, you guys are like, hey, we are probably gonna be ordering pizza. If everybody can bring $5 each session to pitch in for pizza, that'd be great. If for some reason you can't, talk to me and we'll hammer out the information. Talk to me privately. So that way you're not making somebody feel bad. Because if they're poor or they can't, you know, really afford much, but, you know, this is their one time to get out of the house and kind of forget that they're poor, or, you know, maybe money's tight, then you can work something out with them and tell the other players politely, hey, this guy's kind of strapped for cash because, you know, and you can see it. And you can tell when somebody's lying on that aspect.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, poor people aren't the only ones who don't have money. Children don't have money. When you're 14, you just can't roll in with $50, pay for pizza and a book and a set of dice. Well, you know, unless you're a trust fund kid or something like that. But, so, you know, I've got a soft spot for kids who aren't assholes. So, I wouldn't even mention it. I just talk to whoever. There's usually one person who's ordering the pizza. I've done this a lot. Just slip them an extra $5 and say it's from so-and-so. Because like I said, even to this day, we're dealing with a bunch of socially awkward people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to put them in the spotlight. We're all there to have fun. And the only way to have fun in these games is everybody contributing and working together. You cannot have fun at these games just by only playing yourself. It's not a video game.
Yeah, and I totally think that it's fair to, you know, to say that, but make sure that you hammer out the rules with everybody before you just show up, because I've had players that will be like, they go and buy snacks, but it's like a one thing for themselves. Like, they'll buy a 2 liter of say Sprite, chug from the Sprite, and then go, anybody else want to chug? No, I'm good. I don't drink after people, especially, you know, now, but if you're bringing snacks, because say you're at somebody's house, bring enough to share. Don't bring a small bag of Doritos and sit there and eat it yourself. No, guys, it's community. It's community potluck. Sharing. Be nice. Potluck. That's the term. I've made full-on feasts for people, you know, like players. I'm like, hey, guys, I got a turkey from work, but I can't use it because for whatever reason, I don't have a family to cook it for. Like, you know, my family's all gone elsewhere for Thanksgiving, and I can't really leave because I got to be at work the next day. So if you guys want, I'll cook whatever. And I've had people bring side stuff and stuff like that. So I'm like, you know, if you're gonna have, you know, snacks or whatever, potluck it, bring enough for everybody. Don't be that one dude that doesn't share. If you're gonna bring drinks, guys, I would get you a 12-pack and just bring that if you're going to someone's house, because that's much easier and much more sanitary, in my opinion, especially now with COVID. It makes it easier, and you're not having to share and, you know, the same bottle thing, passing it around. And they're easier cleanup than using paper cups.
Well, here's an easy one. If you're in a card shop, when you get up, go downstairs, get you a drink, all you need to go is, hey guys, I'm going downstairs. Does anybody need anything? That puts the onus on them. You don't have to say, I'm too poor to buy you anything. They say, no, I don't want anything. So there you go.
You can also, some shops I know that I've played at have a tab. So you can say, hey guys, does anybody have a tab and they want anything? Because I'll open a tab for myself or something. I've had DMs that are like, put it on my tab or whatever. So I'll go down there and be like, well, the DM said put it on his tab. So, you know, he's offering to buy for everybody because, you know, he makes considerably a lot more than all of us combined. And he's trying to be polite. So there's that. But just ask. Be kind. So be kind to everybody, you know, just ask. It's polite to ask in general. Also, if you're getting up, that's another thing that you mentioned. Get up and say, hey, guys, I'll be right back. Or, you know, just be like, you know, just get up quietly and say, I got to go to the bathroom, guys. I'll be right back. But don't make a big scene about it when you're getting up. Don't. And if you're going to smoke, that's the other thing that pet peeves me. And you know you have an addiction, you can try to stave off that addiction for a little while. Because if you have to smoke every 5 minutes, what are you doing playing D&D in the first place?
Well, I used to smoke for 20 years. And there's a few reasons to smoke cigarettes. Hey, you're bored. Like the guy keeps going, I'm going downstairs to get a cigarette. No one's so addicted to cigarettes you have to have one every 15 minutes. And number two, you know, cigarette addicts smoke when they can't, right?
I mean, mm-hmm.
You ever heard that, I just have to have a cigarette right now. Well, you know, games can get intense. Now, I'm not saying smoke. You can't smoke inside of you. You don't smoke around people anymore. I'm not trying to advocate that. But, and also, there's also aspect when you're concentrating. I love a good game where it takes every ounce of concentration to stay in it. And another thing addicts do with cigarettes is when they're trying to think, they tend to light up. So, but that guy who's just roaming around, the people who, the other ones who just have cigarettes, well, they can just suck it up. And they're really hurting. Just pause the game, order pizza, and just smoke a cigarette. Take a break.
Yeah, don't, but if you're going to smoke and you have to smoke every 5 minutes, I don't understand what you're doing there in the first place, because, I mean, this is a game where you're going to be sitting there for maybe, I've seen people play all day, but, you know, like 8 hours, but that's ridiculous in my, you know, and granted, they probably are, you know, that's their dynamics. You're going to be sitting there for hours. I don't know how long typically your games last, but some people's games last hours. So factor into that, you know, whatever. And also vaping, don't vape at the table, guys. I get it. You think you're so cool when you're vaping, but you know, I don't know what's in your vape stuff. So I don't want to breathe it in. I have a right to say that. Most card shops will tell you, you can't vape in store. They tell you all these things like that. So if you're going to smoke or whatever, maybe you could bring that up. Like, hey guys, yes, I am a smoker. You know, I know whatever you can, whatever, but just be like, I'm going to go, you know, whatever, but you know, ask and tell everybody, you know, like, is it okay if, because at the end of the day, you're playing with other people that have, they're taking time just like you out of their day to come play in a game that they want to maybe escape from the harsh realities of their work, you know, deadlines, bosses, etc. Maybe they want to get out of the house because they're lonely. So they've come to have fun just like you. And if you are crushing four other people's fun or three other people's fun by you doing something, that's not fun for everybody.
Well, I've noticed there seems to be a whole lot of people playing Dungeons and Dragons who don't want to play it.
I think they are, maybe it's they don't realize they don't want to play it, but they're more or less getting,
it's like going to see a movie you don't want to.
Well, I've encountered people that they don't know they don't want to play it. They're more or less like, I want to see if I like it, or I'm here because Todd's here. And, you know, so they're playing because Todd's playing, and that's their friend, and their friend invited them, and they don't realize that they're not wanting to play.
Yeah, this isn't prom. You don't do plus one. I mean, unless you have. The major caveat to that rule is when you're playing with the 14, 15, 16-year-old doesn't have a driver's license. Yeah, you have to allow that kid to cater to his parents. Well, you don't have to, but I was treated that way when I was growing up. It kept me in the game. Otherwise, a 14-year-old has no control of their life. So, you know, they understood. And look, this is not, being good to people and having fun should not have to come with a spreadsheet and a 20-page booklet. Just all you need to do is learn to count and have an imagination. That's it.
Okay, so you've gotten to, say for example, you guys have all agreed that you're going to play at someone's house, maybe a store. I don't know where you're going to play it, but for example, in our scenario here, you agreed to meet at Todd's house. Todd's graciously hosting, and you guys are all over the age of 21. Todd's now saying, if you guys want to have alcohol, I don't mind you guys bringing it. But, you know, whatnot. Drink in moderation, guys. Don't get drunk. Nobody likes a drunk player. Nobody likes a drunk DM. If you're going to have alcohol, talk to your players. Talk to the people that you're playing with, as in your party members, as your players. Hey, guys, what are we doing about alcohol? I know that that's a subject, you know, but you can say, if you do like to have an occasional beer, I like to drink a little bit, you know, when I'm socializing, and I would like to have a couple of beers, but I want your opinions. And don't shame somebody. Don't go boo, they don't drink alcohol, because maybe they're a recovering alcoholic, or they choose not to drink because they have somebody that is, or maybe they've been in a bad experience, or they just don't like alcohol. Don't judge them on that. But I'm the type of person that if you're coming over to my house to play, and you're going to play with everybody, I don't mind you having a couple of drinks, as long as you know your limit, and you know when to stop before you're drunk and can't drive home. Because I will not hesitate to snatch your keys up, and I will get your phone and hold it in front of your face, because that's how most phones work these days, and get the Uber app and get you home on your dime. Not on my dime, but on your dime, because you chose to get drunk.
Well, you know, as someone who enjoys beer, here is my take on it. Stay sober enough to play the damn game. That's all. You don't have to count your beers. You don't have to watch the clock. Are you sober enough to play the game? Can you add the numbers on the dice? Did you mess up your turn? Did you miss your initiative order? Basically, are you too drunk to play? Not too drunk to play, in my opinion. Well, it's not my house. If I'm at somebody's house, you know, of course I'm going to do whatever. But if I'm in a venue where I have a choice, and I hardly ever drink when I'm playing. But like I said, once you get smashed, you can't play that. Too much concentration going on. And especially, like I said, if you're in a card shop, card shops are, come think of it, there are an awful lot of bars. You're paying a lot more for your stuff at a card shop, just like you'd pay a lot more for beer in a bar. But what you're really paying for is that store, the fact that they have the equipment and everything else. So if you're not going to trash their place there by getting wasted, don't trash somebody else's. Now, if y'all been playing together for years, it's your house, and whatever y'all want to do, that's fine. But a lot of these sessions I've seen have a lot of players who don't know each other. And so no one wants to be... Sober people don't like to sit around when there's one drunk asshole. It's just, no. So, you don't drink, right? And so, if you're not going to drink, I'm not going to have more than 2 beers. Because it's a really ugly thing, because when people are drinking and someone isn't, what do they always say or ask? How come you're not drinking? You want me to get you something? And for whatever reason that person is not drinking, I've got to imagine that gets exhausted all night, every time you go out.
Well, I just go ahead and tell people, I've asked questions before about alcohol games, and a lot of people have said, I just go ahead and blank slate at my table. Alcohol is not allowed. That's what several people in my Pathfinder group, when I've asked before about alcohol, do you guys allow alcohol at your tables? Yes or no, and why? Because I've had people saying, yeah, sure, I have a 2-drink limit at my table. And I pull out, you know, the bar, and I say, hey, guys, you have a 2-drink limit. Here's your 2-drink tokens. You can cash them in. And if you don't drink, that's totally fine. If you know that you're going to get drunk off 2 drinks, you need to let me know. And now you have a 1-drink limit. And so, you know, they're like, but I, you know, because I, the DM, drink, you know, and slow sip some whiskey or something, is what they've said. You know, several people have said, no, I don't allow it. So if you're hankering to have a drink or whatever else you want to do,
call the bar.
Yeah. You can always ask somebody. Say, hey, I want to know, are these things allowed? It's always asking. This is the number one thing when you're starting out to play. The key thing you need to do is ask. And don't be afraid that your question is going to be stupid, because no question is a stupid question. And if they tell you, that's a dumb question, well, they obviously don't want you to grow as a person. And, you know, they're just dumb. So forget them and keep asking the questions you need to be asking, because no question is a stupid question. Make sure that you know your information before you go, guys. When you're talking to people, make sure that you're behaving yourselves. Don't be a dick. Don't hog the table. Find out what's appropriate in character creation and what's not. The other thing I'll tell you, and this is a pet peeve, and people make jokes about it. I have encountered this once, and only once. And I think, you know, now it's kind of a, everybody knows it's a no. If you're playing a character and you're out there, don't go, I want to roll to see if I get the bar maiden. And everybody's standing there going, okay, well, now you got the bar maiden, you do. I want to go have sex.
Yeah, that's kind of like
saying. No, if you wanted to go do that.
I want to go roll to go to the bathroom. What do I need to roll to go to the bathroom
today? Yeah, okay. If you wanted to go do that, go home. Go online and find some adult games to play and play on your own if that's what you're really looking to do. Don't do that. Yes, there is things for you to do that, and the DM can say, okay, roll me to 20. Oh, no, no. But, you know, if you're going to try that in my game, okay, maybe once or twice if the guy's like, hey, I'm going to try to seduce you for information. Okay, you know, you're trying, maybe that's whatever. But not all the time. Yeah. You've now got D&D AIDS.
Yeah, permanent -2 to your constitution.
Yeah, you come out there and realize you've gotten an STD. That's how I nipped that in the bud.
That's what I think DMs should let their characters attempt anything that's physically possible. But you can tell them, boy, that is really stupid. You don't tell them that's really stupid. You let them figure it out.
Guys, you need to specify at the table when you're speaking to people. If you say, like, oh, well, I'm going to... So, for example, say that our Supreme Overlord is a fighter in full plate armor, and we're encountering this chest at the other side of the room, but the center of the room is filled with spikes, and all around are these platforms that have gaps where you see sharp, shiny spikes. Some have dead bodies, skeletons, blood, guts, gore, etc., and there's these things hanging at the top that look like bars that you can grab onto to swing across. Now, sure, if you as a joke say, I'm going to try this. If you say that, as a DM, you know, am I playing, I kind of expect my DM to go, oh, you try it, roll for me to see what happens. Because then that teaches you to say, you know, if you say it, hey, it's going to happen to you. I half expect DMs to start telling players, you did it, you said it, you know, because a lot of players will joke and distract. Well, if I was, I would, you know, but you need to specify, you know, because then, yeah, sure, you've attempted it, but you're probably going to take penalties because you're in that heavy armor. You're not, you know, acrobatic in that armor. You're a fighter. And full plate armor that's weighing you down, you're probably going to hit those spikes, and it's going to hurt really bad. So just watch out for that.
Yeah. Speaking of taking penalties, when I run a game, if someone comes up with a super original, clever idea, as a DM, without announcing it, you better believe I'm going to put a bonus on that roll. Because that was a really good idea. It'll make the game a lot of fun.
Yeah, so our aim is to release these podcasts once a week on Fridays. Or Fridays, or if not, by Saturdays. So you can tune in and enjoy us. On our little caption stock image, you'll see a way to contact us via email. As of right now, that's all we're going to have till I set up some other things to contact us about. I think you guys as players should talk about this, because this is a podcast that's by players for players. So next time we'll be talking about alignment and all that jazz. Our theme song is by an artist called Raptors Away. If you know who they are, or like for our opening little thing, that'd be great. If you find them, let me know so I can give them all the credit that's due, because I have hunted for them all over the internet and they are non-existent. So that'd be totally awesome, guys. Because I found them on Spotify and they're totally fantastic and deserve all the credit they can get. But anyway, guys, I hope you'd enjoyed. And if you felt like we missed anything, let me know. And thanks for tuning in.
Hi, everybody. Woo-hoo. Rock out. Go have fun. And remember, you're having fun. This isn't a job. And we'll see you next week.
Shout out to our number one sponsor this week, Mythics Cards and Games. With a shop stocked so well, it's really a shop of holding. If you can't find what you need, just ask Nathan and he'll be more than happy to order it for you. Don't live near or around Pinson, Alabama? Check out mythicgamer.crystalcommerce.com. That's mythicgamer.crystalcommerce.com.